ready, guys. We're going to get started. Just for those that are on the broadcast, you'll be able to see the screen, but you won't be able to see me. So that's the trade-off here. So it's probably better anyway. Yeah. Ready? All right. Well, good evening, everybody. We appreciate everybody participating in our Planning Commission for April 2nd of 2020. My name is Andy Powell, and I'll be chairing today's meeting. Unfortunately, Chris Berbert's under the weather, fortunately not with COVID-19. That's a good thing. He's just not quite well today. So we do excuse him, and we hope everybody out there is being safe and taking this seriously and doing what you can to stay safe and to stay home. So keep calm and wash your hands, as the screen says, and we'll go ahead and get started. We do have a full quorum today, so I'm going to go ahead and introduce who is here as a part of the Planning Commission. I'll be chairing the commission from the City Council chambers, and we do have six other participants through technology that'll be a part of it. So we got Andrea Bradford, Adam Jacobson, Brody Rippon, Jackson Ferguson, Lauren Palmer, and Joy Kasich. We'll excuse Heather and Chris tonight. This is kind of unique. We won't, we'll forego doing the Pledge of Allegiance tonight, but I just want to make sure that as we've looked through the conflicts of interests, just ask those that I just mentioned, if there are any conflicts of interest, please let them know now with any of the items that are on the agenda. Hearing none and seeing a few shaking of the heads, we will proceed. So we'll move on to item 1.3. We're looking for approval of the minutes for our last two meetings, February 20th and March 5th. Any comments or actions from the commission?
Nope.
Okay, do I have a motion then from someone?
Yeah, this is Brody. I'll make a motion to approve minutes from 2:20.
And
Mark, Adam, I'll second.
Well, what about March 5th? Do we go ahead and do both at the same time? So the motion was for March or for February 20th. Should we amend that for March 5th as well? Or just do one at a time?
I'll make a motion to approve minutes for 2:20, 2020 and 3:05, 2020.
Okay, so motion by Brody and the second by
Adam.
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 Okay. With this being the way it is, we have to do a roll call vote remotely. So I'll just go down the list and state yay or nay if you approve. Andrea.
Yes.
Adam.
Yes.
Was that a bark? Yeah. Sorry. Brody.
Yes.
Jackson.
Yes.
Lauren.
Yes.
And Joy.
Yes.
Great. Thanks, everybody. And I guess when we're not on, make sure we're on mute until we're ready to go. We're getting a little bit of a feedback going. Don't know if that's on our end or what. All right. I don't know if you guys are hearing that or not, but please mute your line unless you're asked to speak. Still getting feedback. There we go. I heard somebody click the mute. The feedback went away. All right. We'll move on to item 2.1, which is a discussion consideration of electronic meeting policies and procedures. I'm assuming, Mike, you're handling that one.
Yes, yeah, so I will be advancing the PowerPoint for our meeting tonight. Bryn McDonald, our assistant city planner, of course, is online and is able to answer some follow-up questions, as well as during the discussion portion of our agenda tonight, we have our development partners online. I think we'll be speaking to those two items. But this particular item, as you can appreciate, many, many cities throughout the state of Utah have been caught off guard by this by the COVID-19 and the need to create policies for electronic meetings. Our city council recently broadened our ability to have these meetings, and concurrent with their action, we're asking for the Planning Commission to adopt, to amend your own policy to continue having electronic meetings in the future. We've included the actual text of the policy in your packets, and we're happy to answer any of your questions relative to the proposal.
Excellent. Thank you, Mike. Is there any comments or questions from the commission? Make sure you unmute if you do. Okay. If there's
fairly straightforward.
Sorry, one more time, Jackson.
It was pretty straightforward.
Very good. Okay, if that's it, then I guess we have to have a motion to approve these new policies, correct? And
correct.
So if I could get a motion.
I'll make a motion to approve these policies for electronic meetings.
Okay, we got a motion by Jackson and a second.
I'll second
that motion.
We got them all. I'll say Joy. Joy got the second on that one. Thank you very much. We'll go ahead and again, we have to do a roll call vote. Joy? Yes or no? Okay, great. Lauren?
Yes.
Jackson?
Yes.
Brody?
Yes.
Adam?
Yes.
And Andrea?
Yes.
Very good. That motion passes.
Excuse me, Andy.
Yes.
I just heard from John Brems that we will have to redo the motion for the minutes.
Okay.
We had to wait and do it after the electronic item was approved.
Ah, fair enough.
Okay.
All Thank right. You. So we will jump back to item 1.3 now that we have electronic meeting policies and procedures approved. We'll go back to item 1.3 for approval of the minutes for February 20th and March 5th. So I'll let Brody take that over again.
All right, I'd like to make a motion to approve minutes for 2/20/2020 and 3/5/2020.
Very good. I think.
I'll second it. This is Adam.
Second by Adam. All right. Again, roll call vote for this one. Andrea.
Yes.
Adam.
Yes.
Brody.
Yes.
Jackson.
Yes.
Lauren. And Joy.
Yes.
Thank you very much. All right, we will move on to item 2.2. And maybe just a quick note, Heather Garcia is a part of the meeting tonight. She will just be observing, though. So item 2.2, it's a review and approval of a single-family dwelling elevations for Jackson Village. The applicant is Richmond America Homes. And I'll turn the time over to Mike for this one.
Okay, thank you. This is a project within a master development agreement, a plan development that the city has approved. In fact, the subdivision phases for this project have been approved recently by the Planning Commission. But at the time that we granted preliminary subdivision approval, we also identified the fact that the building elevations for the single family homes would need to come back for approval by the Planning Commission. So this is just a little bit of the timeline of the process that we've been going through. Again, the site plan was approved in 2019. Jackson Village, as I said, is part of this Teton Ranch development agreement and has design guidelines. We've identified in the staff report that some of the proposed elevations do not strictly comply with the guidelines, and we're recommending that those are not approved by the Planning Commission tonight. And to that, we wanted to be specific. Some of these illustrations, even from the development agreement, really are illustrating types of solutions. In fact, you can see down on the footnote on the screen, images shown are only intended to represent design elements. You look on the left-hand side of the screen, the design elements, this is right from the language in the MDA. 75% of the roof pitches need to have a 4/12 or steeper pitch. On the facade treatment, minimum of 3 design elements on the front facade, including a minimum of 40% brick or stone, and or stone, 2 design elements on site and rear, and then some different dimensional requirements. So with that in mind, You know, we have suggested to the Planning Commission that this is largely achieving those designs, but for example, these don't have 40% brick or stone. So just to be clear for the record, even though we're showing these elevations, they still need to comply with these design elements. We're not proposing that the Planning Commission take any action that compromises the design elements of the MDA. As each project comes through for a building permit review, we'll be looking at these design elements, making sure that the final product actually complies with this. So these again were included in your packets. And then towards the end of these images, you'll see a few that clearly just don't model that architectural variety that the MDA. So we're saying that these elevations should not be approved tonight. That is what is before the Planning Commission for action tonight. Thank you.
Okay, very good. Thank you, Mike. Is the applicant available to add anything more to what has already been presented to us, or have a desire to do so? If you are, please state your name for the record so we know who you are. I'm not hearing anyone. Unless they're on mute, doesn't sound like there's a representative from Richmond America participating today. Is there any discussion then from the Planning Commission? Any comments or questions maybe Mike can help us answer, or Bryn, you're out there too, potentially. Any discussions or concerns?
I have a question about the side elements. I need to go look that up to familiarize myself more with that piece, but when it talks about two design elements on the side and rear, what is the basics of those requirements?
Brid, do you recall the specifics from the MDA on that?
No, what you see listed here is what it says. There's nothing more specific. I mean, this page is right from their design guidelines.
Okay.
I didn't see any. All they showed us was the facade, so we didn't get to see any of the sides of the any of the homes. So I was curious about what that meant and if they're meeting those requirements.
Yeah, because I guess it could mean that the two design elements on the side or rear, there's no requirement for brick or stone. Is that correct then, for the side? Right, it just has to be two elements.
And when we say two elements, is that two different types of materials, or like a bump out?
Yeah, it could be anything like that. It could be a window treatment. It could be, you know, stucco on the bottom and some hardy above. It just could be any two kind of, you know, elements.
Okay. But that's already been approved, right? Previously.
Yeah, these are their approved guidelines.
Yeah. Okay. Any other questions from the commission? If not, I will entertain a motion if we have one. Are there any concerns, or we move forward?
So I guess my question is, how will you ensure that they meet the two design elements on the side and rear?
When they submit their building permit, they have to submit, you know, elevations all the way around.
Yeah.
And we would double check it at that time.
Okay. And then for those homes that aren't approved just because they have no stone, do you want us to take that out of the motion?
So there is a recommendation that's out there. If you look at your packet there, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, five elevations that are recommended to not be approved. So we could just have the motion follow the recommendation, staff's recommendations.
Okay.
my only comment on the elevations they provided is the first two elevations here have some decent proportioning and kind of management of the masses of the building. The ones that they have in their elevations have some odd things. They have, you know, kind of some weird elements on the corners, but that does, the guidelines don't say anything about that, so I guess we can't really comment.
Can you show us that, what you're talking about, if they can scroll?
These actually do go down a little bit. Yeah, go back up one. Oh, nope.
The other way.
The other way.
There you go.
Yeah, there we go. This one kind of has towers on the ends. This one isn't as bad. I shouldn't say bad. This one's, it's a little odd to have, you know, that the two pieces clear on the ends. We go down one.
Yeah, it feels like almost like a duplex.
Yeah. See, down one more, or next slide. This one was good. Next slide.
Yeah, these are ones that don't pass. Not in compliance, right?
Right.
As well as those. And that one. Those are the five.
Oh, okay. So I guess it was one of them that was in the packet that's not necessarily on the screen.
Okay.
But at the same time, it's a massing issue, and so in composition, and so you can't really comment to that.
Maybe something as a takeaway for giving recommendations in the future.
It's really difficult to say what or to delegate good architecture. So, you know, when you see it, but then often, but sometimes it's in the eye of the beholder as well. So,
yeah.
Hey, Andy.
Yes.
We just got an email from the applicant that they are muted from our end.
Oh.
They do have comments.
What's the name when we can unmute them? Do you know? Thomas Kelton?
It is. Let me pull it up.
It is Thomas Kelton.
Thomas Kelton. We'll try and unmute
him. Yeah, can you hear me?
There we go. Thomas, sorry about that.
Hey, no worries. So just in regards to these elevations that were sent in, so we realized that not all of them represented every single guideline that was given. We recognize that there definitely are stipulations and things that must be met according to the master development agreement here. Unfortunately, as an organization, we don't have the ability to cater our elevations to all of those design guidelines for every project that we enter. And so for the most part, we've got the elevations and the floor plans that are represented as they will be, but recognize we are definitely lacking some exterior elements on a lot of those elevations that are shown.
Very good. Any thoughts about Brody's question about side elements that you can allude to for us?
Yeah. And so we've been in discussion also with Ryan Button. Sounds like his guidelines are even a little bit more stringent than the ones that Harriman City has in place. And so as an architectural review committee, he's kind of given us his items of how we can break up the sides and the back to achieve those two elements. I mean, whether it be kind of pop outs around the windows, and a number of different things that he recommended of how we could achieve those two elements on every side. And we definitely plan to address that and recognize that that is something that will be sought with each individual plan check going to both Ryan Button as the architectural review committee, and then also as they then get forwarded to Harriman City for review by the planning commission before it gets to the building department.
Very good. Thank you, Thomas.
Hey, this is Adam. I think we should see what, I mean, I understand what the applicant's saying, that it's difficult to have drawings that are accurate with what our rules are, but I think we've talked about this several times in the past, that that's why we're airmen, and people should bring what they need to bring in order for us to actually review and approve what we want to see. And I don't see that we're meeting that. The fact that we have packets that have half the drawings in, but not, I personally am not comfortable with that.
I would agree. That's what makes it hard, because, you know, what we're having to do is say we approve of these if they were to comply with our requirements, if we make a request to approve.
So I mean, that's essentially
color boards and things like that. So, I mean, and I know we're in a different world right now with the color boards, but the fact that we have half the drawings that, I mean, I'm not an architect, but I'm struggling figuring out what we even are approving versus what we aren't approving. I can't visualize what we're doing.
Well, because what I'm getting from this is Richmond American would like those other plans, the interior of the plan, right, the floor plans, to be approved, but they want to make them comply with our requirements on the exterior, but they're not, they don't show that right now. Is that correct?
Right, right. So floor plans and the design aesthetic of the exterior will remain unchanged, and then material selection definitely will change from home to home. And, you know, as the buyers select different exterior options, we realize that, yeah, you look at some of these and they definitely don't have, I mean, some of them no stone, but a lot of others that, you know, maybe 20, 30% stone and not meeting that 40% stone. And so that is something that we plan to definitely incorporate into each and every one. And so, yeah, from what I was told, we were looking to more to approve the elevation look of the homes, make sure they complied, and then also floor plans, knowing that each individual buyer is going to have the option of selecting those exterior elements that fit within the Harriman City, the MDA for the area, and the architectural review guidelines.
So Jackson, I don't know, can you guys go back to the ones that aren't approved? The facade.
Yeah, Mike, can you? They were down from this. There we go.
Yeah. Me personally, looking at the Annika A, all I can do is make a suggestion is incorporate some more architectural elements. I don't know. It just, me, it lacks character. I don't know how to say that, but maybe showing brick around the garage or under the window would add some more character to this facade.
Right, right. And so what I'm trying to get at here, so like, for example, looking at that Annika A, I wish we had one where it would show like Annika A next to Annika B. So, I mean, essentially where we've got different pop-outs above the door, where, I mean, if you look at the Annette, the roof styles change, whether it's hip, so, I mean, the kind of what we have by showing, I mean, I think some of our elevations get to like G and H on our more popular plans. But basically that show different pop-outs around windows, how the front porches are accentuated, how the roof lines appear, how you know, whether the garage is brought forward a little, back a little. So as we go through those, all of these elevations were intended to show how there's variation in these different floor plans and how the exteriors will look. You know, even if we ended up with an Annika next to an Annika, but there's definitely some variation that occurs there, realizing once again that we don't necessarily have all exterior elements that the city's looking for in the MDA present on each of these different models or elevations.
So let me make a comment, Thomas, on this. Obviously, all of these elevations that we're seeing here on this presentation are not what was included in the packet. For those of you that have the packet, if you turn to pages 46 and 47, those are, 45 and 46. 45 is what we're seeing on Annika A on this view, but if you look at 46, right, there is some differences that you can clearly see that would meet the requirements. And then the same for page 47 and 48. That is your Annette A, where the one is not in compliant, and 48 would be in compliant with just a little bit of variation, just as Thomas was mentioning. So just so you know, we have seen that. There are those views that do meet the requirements that are in our packets.
So I understand that. I just don't think it's clear enough. So I think we should have, you know, Annika, not A, but Annika B, C, and D, and then you move on to their next model, and that B, C, D, whatever that is, we should be approving that, not everything but what we didn't get. So I personally would rather have it, we're only approving what meets our standard. I don't see the reason why we wouldn't do that.
But Adam, why if the design guidelines are there and it can't get through without the design guidelines, help me understand why anything would slip through.
So we've had many times where design guidelines as well as city staff's workload gets overlooked and we miss things that aren't there. I can go to, I know Bryn will remind me of the apartment complex right next to the City Hall. There was one of those, several of those that got built with approved elevations before that, as well as other spots around the city. And so I don't understand why we would even entertain this.
So when staff...
So I'm not sure if...
I was going to ask if...
I'm not sure if the... If,
go ahead, Thomas. I'll let you finish. Now, go ahead, Thomas.
So the... Yeah, I'm not sure if the letter made it in there that Ryan sent as kind of the sole member of the Architectural Review Committee right now. He sent a letter that said the floor plans and elevations provided and listed below have been approved per the Jackson Homeowners Association guidelines with the following exceptions. There must be a minimum of 40% brick or stone on the front elevation of every home. The porch posts must be a minimum of 8x8, and all side and rear elevations must contain a minimum of 2 architectural features. So I'm not sure if we could approve it with a stipulation like that, realizing, hey, this is just giving you an idea of the floor plan or how the different variations of those facades can look, knowing that, yes, we do have to have posts of a certain size and a brick or stone of at least 40% and 2 elements on each side.
But what I'm saying from my perspective, and this is just Adam and my point of view, is I want to see it. Show me the 40%. I don't understand why we're in a need to not see what really is going to get built.
I'm kind of on the same page with you too, because I know we've talked about some of these have 30, 20%. Where's the minimum? Where's, you know what I mean? Like Adam said, if we can't see it, it's hard to say, yeah, I would approve that because it has other elements in the design.
And if we were just removing one thing, maybe I might be more willing to say that, but there's several in here that I don't think look like 40%, and you even have a letter from the developer that they don't think it meets 40% either. So I don't see why we're not seeing 40%.
So, I mean, if I were to take every single plan here with every single variation of the elevation, it looks like I've got 42. And if I've got to have some sort of a draftsman or an architect that's catering 40, 50, 60 elevations to every single community that I'm building in. I mean, shoot, I mean, right now we're building in 30 communities across the Wasatch Front, and that's just our Utah division. And so, I mean, to try and cater 40 different elevations for one community, yeah, I mean, it's darn near impossible to try and accomplish something like that.
Brian, what's your take on this?
Mr. Chair, if I may,
yeah.
I completely understand Adam's comments and his concern. I've been with the city 2 years, and I can only speak to really what I have experienced and witnessed since I've been on staff. Because of the volume of the work, I know that we have had in the past, we have relied upon the Architectural Review Committee's approval letters. And we've done a really good job making sure we have that documentation for the projects that are getting permitted. Within the last, since I've been here, I've been challenging my staff to if not double check every single permit, at least do audits. Again, because of the volume. The state is expecting us to process permits at a certain time. And if we're not processing permits, getting them out the door, we're essentially, criticized and potentially held up as a poster child for, look what cities aren't doing. They're not doing their part to process applications in a timely fashion. So we have been auditing those, and we have been identifying areas where we're seeing some mistakes. I think we're looking at plans closer than we have in the past. And I'm asking my staff to look at every single one of these design guidelines as they're looking at permits.
From an educational standpoint, maybe a little bit on my own, for my own part, who makes up that architectural review committee? And where does that come from? Is that the builder
typically
that then provides that, right?
It's the developer. It's okay. Usually identified in the master development agreement. And so, yes, they're usually...
So they're policing themselves a little bit. Yes. But that's usually how that works, just so everybody's aware.
So in this case, we as a builder purchased land from the developer. And so the developer in this case is not related to us in any way, shape, or form, except for just that we purchased paper lots from him. As it was mentioned, we, Richmond American, will submit to the Jackson HOA, which we have no control over their architectural review, for verification that these elements are there before we can submit for any permits on the homes that we build.
Very good. No, and Thomas, I do recognize the difficulty that is to try and come up with the various options that each independent, potential owner could come up with as well. So go ahead, Brody.
I think what would help me out is on the recommendation, if it shows all of the elevations, the ones that are approved, the ones that are not approved. I don't know, it's hard with all the different elevations. I guess we saw the ones that they would say aren't approved, but then Annika might have elevations A through F or G. So we know exactly which elevations we are approving.
Well, from the packet, correct me if I'm wrong, Mike, from what I'm seeing in the packet, everything that we're seeing in here is approved other than those five elevations that the staff recommended to not approve.
I believe that was the intent of Bryn. Is that correct, Bryn?
Right, so we have what's been approved or what we feel.
Everything is in your packet. Everything is in your packet. It's just the five that we specifically called out that we wouldn't be approving.
Okay, that makes more sense. Thank you.
Okay, and knowing that we've got, just a handful on there, I think we'd be more than happy to submit five. Like I say, I mean, it'd be nearly impossible to try and get, 40 per subdivision drawn up specific to those guidelines. But, I mean, if you're just looking for a handful, that's something that we could definitely address and get you those to re-review and have on our next agenda here for a second look.
Does that meet members of the commission's intent, or because it's an example, right, for various elevations? But again, it's not going to be everyone, and I don't know if we want to see everyone either. Personally, I don't know if that's the best use of time and effort.
Yeah, for me, now knowing that if we're just excluding these ones that don't meet the guidelines and the other ones are approved, that to me is okay.
Yeah.
Because you're still going to get the Annika, B, C, and the other variations.
Right.
And you would have to change it anyway to get it approved. So for me, I'm okay knowing that.
And that is the recommendation from staff. Sorry, Adam, go ahead. What was that?
I'm more comfortable with that as well.
So
okay.
With that said, I just have one last question. In the master development agreement, are they able to use the same elevation next to each other, or do they have to like vary, like homes next to each other can't be the same across the street?
Bryn or Mike, you know that?
Yeah, they'd have to vary across the street and next to each other.
Okay. Well, with that being the case, I'd like to make a motion to approve the elevations for Jackson Village, and that's item 2.2.
With staff's recommendations?
Staff's recommendations, correct.
Okay.
To knock Annika A, Annette A, Annette B, Avalon A, and Arville A.
Okay, we have a motion. Do we have a second?
I'll second it.
Okay, so we have a motion by Brody and a second by Adam. We'll do a roll call vote for this one. Jackson.
Yes.
Hold on, that was Lauren the second.
Oh, was Lauren second? Excuse me, Lauren. Yeah. Lauren was the second on that one. I missed that. So, Jackson.
Yes.
Lauren.
Yes.
Joy.
Yes.
Andrea.
Yes.
Adam.
Yes.
And Brody.
Yes.
Very good. That motion passes. Thomas, thank you for your time. We will now move on to item 2.3. There's a request for conditional use approval for a fast food restaurant. The applicant here is Robert Poirier. I hope I said that right. We'll go ahead and turn time over to Mike for his presentation.
Okay, this is within a C2 commercial zone, the Anthem Commercial Center. The property is 1.248 acres. It is a fast food restaurant, which is a conditional use in the C2 zone. The process is that the Planning Commission has to have a public meeting. This is not a public hearing, but you hold a public meeting, and then you make a decision based on those conditional use standards. This, you can see on the subdivision plat, the parcel that we're talking about is, it has the green star there on lot, looks like 403. You can see that it does front on Anthem Park Boulevard, which is a public street, and then there is an internal circulation road, which is private. You can see this, the site plan. We did review this project, of course, through our development review committee meeting and identified a number of concerns. And I believe, Bryn, that these plans have been adjusted based on those DRC comments. Is that right? This is the revised plans that we're looking at in the packet.
Right, correct. Yeah. These are the revisions.
Yeah. Yep. And of course, they've also, we have really been benefiting as a city having a full-time landscape architect on staff. And she's also worked very closely with this developer and making sure that we've got a landscape plan that is working towards our goals. Bear in mind that the city is talking more and more with our development partners about water-wise landscaping. In fact, we will see some new landscape standards proposed to the Planning Commission and City Council in compliance with some discussions and requirements that we have had with the our local water district. So we're going to see more water conservation landscaping, and this will be a site that will take advantage of some of that. This is the building that is included in your packet. Has a lot of architectural variety. It has the corner definitions that we require in the C2 zone for commercial sites. Staff has recommended approval of this project with the conditions that are outlined in your staff report. And again, if you have any questions, I think Bryn is queued up to answer those for you tonight.
Well, I'll go ahead and turn time over first to Robert then for any additional information he might have, and then we'll let him sign off, well, not sign off, mute, and we'll have a discussion. But go ahead, Robert, if there's anything more you'd like to present.
There's nothing really more to present. The owners just wanted me to convey that they're excited to be coming to Utah, and we've worked hard with the staff to get the landscaping and the setback buffers and you have a little bit more landscaping even than is required, so we're hoping it's going to be a real nice-looking site. Really, that's all I have, unless you have any questions.
One question for you. Is this the first one, then, for Utah here? Right?
Second. They're just starting construction in Lehigh.
Okay. Just was curious. All right. Thank you, Robert. We'll go ahead and now turn the time over to the Planning Commission for any questions or comments.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I've got one.
Yeah.
This kind of, I don't know, Bryn, it said in the comments you had looked at the garbage enclosure on the, I don't know if you can zoom in here on the screen. In the packet, it calls for P4, which is paint, and they're looking to paint the CMU on the garbage enclosure. I would recommend we not do that. Painting CMU never looks very good, at least 6 months later.
Okay. I'm good with that.
Because I know painted enclosures, just they just do not last. They look good for a week, and then they start to bubble and just look nasty. I would recommend that maybe we do integral paint integral pigment stain with pigment. The yep. CNU, get that same color.
It's a good comment, Jackson.
And with that, I would encourage a anti-graffiti finish. They can put an anti-graffiti spray on top of that so that it's something they can still take care of and not have to paint.
Those can be added to a motion. Is there any other questions then or comments? Group.
On all the signage, is that just painted on or is it neon or do we know?
Sounds like Robert, could you mind taking a moment and answering that question? The plans for that signing.
There's a combination.
Okay.
There's a combination of plaques and things that'll be affixed to the surface, and some items will be painted on.
So I have a question too. It looks like on page 113, there's two north elevations. Just curious which one you guys are doing. If it's the one on the right or the left.
Oops.
One says Slim Chickens, and then the other one doesn't have any signage.
Oh.
I believe that should be the other side of the building.
Okay.
They both say north elevation.
They both say north.
Mislabeled.
Okay. Yes, I believe that is a mislabeling of the elevation.
Okay, so one is south and one is north?
I believe so, yes.
And then one's got to be mirrored then if that's the case. Cause,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're the exact same.
Okay. Okay. Any other questions? Not
if you look on the following page, I think that's the south elevation. If you scroll to the next page,
I don't know if that's in the there you go.
Yeah, I think you may be right. I think that might be an option. That looks like that is an option. So which are we approving?
I like the one on the right. If we can choose
with more of a bulkhead.
Yeah, that has more signage.
Now, a sign permit will be reviewed separately. I mean, we appreciate when our development partners show us where they intend to place the signage, but we will have a separate review to make sure that it's complying with our sign code. Obviously, this elevation on the right, the north elevation on the right, has a slightly different it has a kind of a traditional bulkhead treatment underneath the window pattern. Looks like we have a little bit of a transom design on the left, or at least implied in the commercial window pattern on that. So that, yeah, I think looks like we've got an extra door as well on the left.
The left one. Robert, do you know which one was being proposed here? Or is there you really care which one, or are you looking for a recommendation from us?
The elevation on the right is the one that is represented in our site plan, just going by the single door.
Okay.
And so the one on the right matches the site plan that's shown on the site plan drawings.
Okay. So that's the intent.
But I believe the owner would be flexible. You had a preference.
Okay. Personally, I don't have a preference. They both look nice to me, but that's me. So, but if the one on the right's been what's shown on the site plan, then yeah.
And if it's the pleasure of the commission, we could approve both elevations, but if there's a majority opinion, yep. Yeah.
Anything else?
I'm not stuck on one or the other. There's a lot of signage around the whole building, so I think either one would be fine. I just wanted to point that out.
Okay.
Good comment. Anyone else have a preference on which elevation? If not, we can move forward. I can't make a motion, so.
I'll make a motion.
Okay,
Jackson. The motion that we approve the plans as noted with an additional recommendation that the dumpster enclosure be built with integral color, integral pigment or integral color in the CMU and not be painted. And that it also include an anti-graffiti
coating.
Surface treatment.
Yeah, good. Okay, we have a motion by
Adam.
Okay, motion by Jackson, a second by Adam. Did you get that motion? Okay, Wendy, do that. Okay, very good. Go ahead and do roll call. Joy.
Yes.
Lauren.
Yes.
Jackson.
Yes.
Brody.
Yes.
Adam.
Yes.
And Andrea.
Yes.
Very good. That motion passes. We will move on. Thank you very much, Robert. We're looking forward to having you in our community. We'll move on to item 2.4, discussion of an amendment of the site plan and building elevations for Bella Via. So this is just a discussion, no motion necessary at this time. So I believe this is just a continuation of what we had previously looked at. Is that correct?
Okay. I think we've got these maybe out of order. So Bella Via.
No, let me just
go ahead.
These items, we're on Hidden Oaks, right? Not Bella Via. Yeah, we're on Hidden Oaks.
Okay. Maybe we have a error.
We might have a typo on my agenda.
Yeah.
Here. I apologize. Let's go back to item 2.4. Show me the heading on that, and we'll excuse me on that one. My agenda was off.
I think you're right. The handout that we have here in the conference or council chamber, I think, is wrong.
It's incorrect. So
I
apologize.
So the agenda is
correct. So action. Oaks. There you go. Item 2.4. Yeah. Discussion of several property phases of Hidden Oaks, including pod 1, pods 4 through 7, and pod 20 on this one.
And I'm not sure if our development partners want to speak on this, and I'll advance the slides as they prompt me through this, or...
And I don't have a name for you to unmute, but...
Go ahead, Bryn.
I think we just want to have this on. All three of these applications will be coming to you on your next meeting for a public hearing. This is basically pretty much all of the rest of the phases of Danzy, east of 7300. We just kind of wanted to show them all to you, have a discussion, see if you had any, you know, overwhelming or big things that jump out at you, and then we'll bring them to you at the next meeting for public hearing and further discussion. So
I can go through the slides quickly, and if there are any questions along the way, you can just interrupt. So again, this is within a master planned community. The Hidden Oaks, which is from the Danzy family, parts of the Danzy family, on the west end of the city or portion of the city. This is the overall land use plan that was approved by the Planning Commission and City Council. And we'll be just walking through a few different pods of development here. So pod one, phase one, you can see is in the lower right-hand corner with that red star. Pod two is anticipated to be a charter school. That charter school that at one time was contemplated did not end up coming here, but it is still shown that way in the pod plan. And there is an option that that pod two could become residential in the future, but for now it's being shown as an institutional use. So pod one, the plan on the left, if I'm understanding this, Bryn, this is what was essentially represented at the time of approval, but the plan on the right, I think, is what they're...
Nope. Oh, so they're both the same plan.
Right.
This is just... The one on the left just shows you the whole thing, and the one on the right shows you the phase.
The phase, okay, yeah. So this is as much as they're going to be working on in this first phase. And then the next one is pod 20. This is on the north side of Harriman Highway, again with the red star. Now this pod stretches westward. And you'll see that it's broken up into two different kind of halves in our presentations tonight. So this is the western half of that project with a little short cul-de-sac in the middle. And then this is the more eastern half of that project. And then this pod, looks like pods four through seven. Yeah, so this is a cluster of pods. So these are all the pods combined, but we'll break them down into smaller sections here. You can see where in this pod, we're looping in some open space in between phases of development. And of course, that allows for some trail access and some recreational amenities. One thing, let's see.
Quick question,
parcel
B and C, not back here, all that open space maintained by the city, is that part of the parks requirement, or how's that? Do we know? I guess parcel A, that's a whole, yeah, I guess you can see it all there.
Yeah, everything along the and along the drainage will be given to the city and maintained by the city.
Okay.
Some of the smaller, like, neighborhood parks, I think there are some private parks in this project that won't be maintained by the city. Isn't that right, Bryn? Some of the detention areas and things like that.
There may be, but they don't have any private streets or really any
okay.
need for an HOA. So most of them will be city maintained.
Public, okay. One of the things we've noted in the MDA, and you can see it here, this kind of this hockey shaped area that's not in the development on the lower right hand portion of this, the MDA does require some larger lots where you're looking at, looks like maybe like 502, 503, 504. There'll be some 10,000 square foot lots that'll be drawn in here when you see this next time. We've already alerted the developer about that, and they're working on changes. In fact, I think they've submitted those changes to us just a few days ago. Just a little zoomed in section on that. It's interesting, we're having lettered streets in the city, Street H, Street G, Street F. I think that's, at least that's, I don't think we've seen that anywhere else. At least I'm not aware of
it. It's
any.
The avenues, right?
Yeah. And then this is their phasing plan for the road construction. So you can see the red is this year, and also the orange will be early phase of construction. And then that blue line, that's going to be the last portion to be constructed, at least under this proposal.
So everything other than blue will be built this year?
Yeah. So just a road phasing plan, but that's it.
Great. Any questions from the commission?
I know when we reviewed the first, I think the first pod, one of the concerns that came up was the variety, how in our master pod plan, it shows for each pod, there's like a variance between the of sizes. And the first one we approved didn't have the variation we're looking for. Just curious if you feel that the developer is giving us what was intended when it comes to a variety of lot sizes in these other pods.
So as I recall the MDA, we certainly had a range, and we were hoping that that range would translate into a variety of lot sizes. But if I recall, it's not, there's not like a percentage, there's no particular requirement as far as what that variety looks like.
And like how many lots are in a specific, I guess, size, correct?
Right, right. Now, some of the pods do actually have a little more variety. You know, you can see it clearly in this one, for example.
Yeah, where you have cul-de-sacs.
Yeah.
Or I guess it bends as well. Okay.
This also, in pod 20 here, looked like there was some pretty good variation going on in the contour. Have those been reviewed by engineering staff? Are they comfortable with that?
This is Blake. We work with them pretty extensively, especially over onto the west end, because it needs to come up and tie in with 7300 West when it comes through. So yes, we've looked at that quite extensively with them, and we're comfortable with it.
Okay.
Gotta love engineering.
And crazy hillsides.
Yeah. Any other questions or comments? Go ahead, Jackson. Sorry.
It makes for some of the best lots when you have some variation there.
Yeah.
I don't have anything at this time.
What? Oh, I'm sorry. Is that my loud voice, Adam? Excuse me. Just kidding. I can do that because you're not sitting next to me to smack me. So, very good. Okay. Then it sounds like we'll be seeing this in a couple weeks then for approval. So I guess if there's any opportunities for comments, now's your chance before it comes to us for approvals.
Yeah, this will be on for a public hearing in 2 weeks.
That'll be interesting doing a public hearing this way. So,
yeah. Should be.
Yeah.
Hey, Bryn, I know there's a bunch of wells and water rights and all that stuff. Maybe this is for engineering out in that area. Are you guys looking into that for the comments? I mean, there's really nothing for us to look at other than do we see any issues. But I didn't see your guys', maybe I missed that page in the packet, but I didn't see your guys' staff recommendations and things. Which usually
we're just putting that in here this time because it was just on for discussion, but I will double check with engineering.
And that's just something, I mean, obviously usually those indicate something that makes you think of something new. So that's what I'm trying to say is I don't have anything right now.
But you'll think of something.
Yeah, we'll give them time. Yeah, very good. Okay, if there's nothing further, then on this item, there's no need for a motion, so we will move forward to item 2.5. A discussion of the amended, this is the actual discussion of amendment of the site plan and building elevations for the Bella Via development. So, Mike again.
Okay, and this one I think we definitely want to hear from our development partner. As the commission knows, this is a topic that we discussed quite at length at a previous meeting. And they have, the developer has really tried to listen to the commission. And before they matured this plan, they wanted to bring it back and see if the commission felt like they had captured your intent and had come up with some solutions that would address the commission's concerns following our last meeting. So we've got a few slides in here for reference, but if Tim Sof is interested in coming online and maybe talking through what they've been doing and their approach to this project, that would be great.
Can we share ours now? Let's take the mute off and we'll do our introduction. Can you hear us, Michael?
We can hear you.
Wonderful. Michael, this is Loyal Hume. I'm counsel for the developer on this one. We've got Tim Sulp here from Think, as well as Tyler Kirk. And if it's okay, what we wanted to do to help help our friends on the Planning Commission, we appreciate all your time tonight, everyone. We'd like to take over the screen and show you what we've done, as you mentioned, Mike, in working so hard to address the Planning Commission's concerns. I'll do a quick overview of what we think has happened while we pull up the slides, and then we'll show you specifically how that looks on the site plan, but we're really excited about it. In essence, what we've done from the original plan is we've met all of the original conditions, but we've actually been able to move from stacked units. We've created less stacked units, which is the higher density units, and we've moved those to courtyard units, which are more family-oriented, larger units, allow more flexibility.
I don't want to interrupt you guys, but we can't see, or at least I can't see what you're showing anymore. I can just see pictures.
We just got access to it, so hold on just one sec. Yeah.
I think,
so just so you know, if you're like circling something, I can't see it.
No, you're great. I'll just do an introduction here, and then our technical guys are working with yours to get it up. So there's nothing yet to show you, but I'll just give you some highlights so you have a feel. So we about 73 fewer stacked units. So you're going to have larger units and more. They're called courtyards that are larger bedrooms, more availability for families, larger buffers, better walkability. The site is actually has some elevation in it, so we've tried to adjust for that, break the buildings up so it's safer and more walkable. We have a walkable commercial, which is really big for a lot of the cities, so that you're able to really maximize your benefit from your commercial and get your tax base. And we've actually reduced the height so that we're able to show the buildings at lower heights than originally approved. So we're really, really excited. We're going to show you these slides in just a second here and kind of walk you through them on a high level. One thing we were wondering, Bryn, I think we don't think we have to have a public hearing on this. So we were hopeful if you guys like this, we'd be fine if you want to go ahead and approve it tonight. We don't think we need to bring it back for any reason legally. So if you're okay and you like this, we're prepared to have it approved tonight and would move to do that if that's okay. Anyway, we'll show you these site plans and get started with that. Just one second, you guys.
There we go.
There we go. I think we've got it here.
We're all learning.
Just for the record.
Mike, is it, can you see that, Michael?
We're seeing the connected GoToWebinar screen still. But I was just going to make a comment that this was advertised as a discussion only. And so we will need to reschedule this because it will require an amendment of what was previously approved. So a formal vote, yeah.
Okay.
All right, can you see that now? Hopefully Tyler's got that up.
No, we're still seeing the web page.
The web page?
Yeah, all we can see is connected to.
I think, you may be on a different screen maybe. Because we're seeing we see Tyler Kirk's Outlook and GoToWebinar. So maybe you're just presenting a different screen that you've got rather than the app that you're wanting to.
Do you think we'll get better at this in the future?
Thanks for your patience, you guys. We'll have it here in just a second. We apologize.
Now we see Google.
All right.
Perfect. So we'll pull this up. We think we've got it now. Is that showing it?
Still your Google Chrome.
What is it doing? I don't know how to switch the screen. If someone can help me with that, that'd be great.
Screen sharing is paused. Let's click on that and see if that helps you.
Oh, it does. It just gives me that one. I don't know how to switch it to the right one.
You may need to drag the window over.
I did that, actually.
I can't wait to see this, though. It's going to be great.
Part of our plan, really, is just trying to heighten the anticipation.
Dramatic effect, right?
Yeah. Bear with us. We apologize, you guys. Bryn, as a backup, do you have the pictures that we submitted that show the three different phases?
We see something now. There you go.
Well, there you go.
Okay. We see it.
All right.
We don't have that because you submitted that after the packets went out. So
I see. Okay, so on the left is what was originally approved. On the right is what is the current plan. You can see how close they are, but notice how we've broken up the different buildings, allowing more walkability and better commercial use. And then in addition, moved 73 of the higher density units into the courtyard units, thus making a little nicer buffer for us and less dense for your residents. So we're actually really pleased about that. Tyler, do you want to run with this? Any comments on that, pal?
Yeah, I'll take a few comments on that. So a few of the things that we heard from the last meeting was that there was a landscape buffer between the courtyards and the stacked flat buildings that you can see over here on the left. It seemed like that was something that was desired. So we did reintroduce that through here. We kind of rearranged our parking, introduced that landscape buffer to separate those properties and those project types. Additionally, like Loyal said, we did try to make the scale of the courtyard buildings very similar to the scale of what they were in the previously approved site plan. So these footprints are remarkably similar as far as the footprint goes to the other buildings that we have presented before.
And actually, if you compare the two, we think more walkability, more open space, those kinds of things you can kind of see there. Okay, the next one, we'll go quickly. You can pause us on any of it. This is just that exact same view, but it just has the one instead of, it gives you a little bigger view. I don't know if we need anything else on that. Tyler, any comments?
No, I don't think so.
So let's do the next one. This will give you kind of a vision of what we're looking at in terms of the building, the architecture, those kinds of things.
So these are some of the images of what the architecture for the new courtyard is. This is different than what we showed you last time. One of the things that we tried to do here is we tried to bring the scale down a little bit. So we know that we had three-story elements before. We still do have some three-story elements, but we also tried to reduce the portion of the building to be two-story as well. So you can kind of see that there are some two-story elements where as you get further back into the recessed areas of the courtyard, it does go up to the three-story. And here's another view of that as you're kind of looking into the courtyard area with the proposed amenities and so forth between the buildings.
That's all. And then any questions or thoughts? Would welcome your feedback. Again, we were hopeful to get a decision tonight. We think we've met all the questions from before, but would love any feedback. And then our hope is to get to see if we can talk Bryn into sneaking us at the first of the agenda for the next meeting and get this thing to what we can.
This is Jackson. I have a question.
Go ahead, Jackson.
Any of the courtyard buildings have garages, or are they still surface parking?
All surface parking. They're all surface parking.
Okay. Do they have any ground level access to all the units, or are some of them elevated access to the units?
Some of them are elevated access.
Okay. So the second floor is all elevated access. There aren't necessarily townhome style.
That is correct.
Okay. Let's see, were there additional pictures to look at?
No, these are what we had prepared.
Okay. So my next question, on the site plans, you have approved 2016. What was approved in 2016? Because I know in the packet we got from the city, we had what was approved in 2015, and that's quite different than the 16.
Yeah, we can help you with that. There were 501 units approved. and there's 501 being requested today. The only difference is that we're doing, before we had 300 stacked flats were approved. That's the high density units on the far right hand side. Those were approved to have 200 or 300 stacked flats. We're now only seeking 227 stacked flats and 133 courtyards, showing that this lower density unit, the courtyards, has really been our focus. So we've reduced the number of high density stacked flats by 67 units. And the building heights, which we think is the significant benefit of this plan over the last one.
Okay.
Yeah, I guess my confusion kind of with Jackson, I'm looking on page like 173 of our packet, and what you're showing is significantly different.
We think there's a typo on that. We're not sure, Bryn, we're not sure how that got submitted, but the one on your screen is the correct one. That's the site plan that was approved in 2016. We're not sure even what you're looking at on the 2015, to be honest. It's just an old, just a typo.
Yeah, like 173 and 174 in our packet.
Yeah, just disregard that one. That's somehow
this is a question for Brent. What was officially approved by the Planning Commission? Was it the 15 or the 16?
Are you talking about the elevations on page 174?
Yes.
No, the plan view. Yeah, the plan view.
Yeah, the plan view. If you look at page 180 and 181.
Oh, I think it's 180 here.
The last few pages of the packet that we got.
Let me clarify. So when they came in and got the whole thing approved originally, preliminarily, this was the plan that was approved. When they came in and got final approval on phase three, then it was modified. So that is
which
correct.
Page is that?
That's not in here.
The one that they're showing is the correct one with the parking.
Yes,
on
yes that's correct. Yep. So that's on me. That's my bad.
Okay, so the one that is shown on November 25th, 2015 is not the approved one. It's
correct.
The 2016 you're showing on theirs.
Correct. And it's up on your screen now. Hopefully you can see that. That's the one on the far left.
We can.
Yeah.
So again, they submitted,
and that makes quite a big difference.
Yeah, they submitted this after the packets went out. So that's why it's not included in your packet.
Okay. So the 2016 approval was, if you could confirm that before our next meeting, Bryn, that the site plan from 2016 was approved, we'll need to know that.
Yep.
Jackson, I remember that one. That was the one we were talking about.
Okay.
So for me, I understand you guys are trying to transfer all the density over to the, what I'll call the middle-sized stacked flats, the new. I still like the courtyards that you guys originally proposed in the site plan from 2016 approval on the screen. I understand you're trying to pass the density from the higher dense stacked buildings, but I still think that's where the density should be, is it should be closer to the community college. And I liked the transition that you had. So I understand what you're trying to do. It's closer, but I still think we need more units along the community college, not along the residential next to it's not being shown in this new diagram.
Well, I think what will make the difference, Adam, is in the 2016 version, you can see where they have parking garages with their courtyard units. And
correct.
In this current one, they don't have any parking garages with the courtyard units. If you have a garage, it's going to make a big difference on what that unit looks like and feels like.
And I'll be honest, that's one of the things that Think Architecture did a really good job is sold that middle, the stuff we're taking away, really well, and that's what we were talking about last time. And I know that's what made me appreciate the entire plan for this whole thing. So the fact that we're going the opposite direction is my concern.
Yeah, I think having the garages is a key element. It just makes it a huge difference in the feel of the community and what you're able to do with the courtyards.
Yeah, for me, Brody, I just like to see more elevations of the new look of the buildings, because it did have a really different feel than what we got in our packet. But yeah, I'd like to see more of those.
Hey, Tim, this is Adam. Is there any way, if you go to your current site plan, the two yellow at the top right screen, could you connect the, yes, right there. Could you connect that and then also the red and the yellow one at the bottom and pull some of the density back into those buildings somehow? And still, I would understand maybe stagger the, I know you're dealing with elevation, but I would assume you could stagger the heights of the different parts of the building to give it a little bit more feel and relief there. Because I think I personally think the challenge is you're pulling too much density from the front area by the commercial and trying to put it in the courtyard product, which I think your courtyard's the right solution.
My only worry there is they're getting rid of open space, but they'd have to shift it.
Now, obviously, they'll have to move it around. I'm just trying to see if we could do. I think your bigger problem is the density shift to the left. It needs to stay closer to the right.
The challenge we ran into when we actually just started to design these, and we can have Tim talk to this in more detail, but the challenge we ran into is this site plan makes it look like everything's flat out there, but it's really not. And so when we tried to do that and deal with it, you end up with access ways, garages, parking, and other things that are staggered. We don't think you're actually going to like that. We kind of showed you some of those and let you see them, but it's been very difficult as you really start to design. That's why we came back with these changes. When you start to design it, number one, we felt like there were some safety concerns, and two is you just the elements didn't really work well. So while it looks good on paper, like it says in 2016, when we start really engineering it and you see it, the access ways, you've got houses that are right together with different parking elements that are offset. It just creates real problems for us. That's what we've run into. That's why we came back to you for some relief on that to try and help us through that, because the site plan, the conditions of the site don't really allow for that. That's one of the big problems we ran into.
So for me, in order to even entertain that, I would need to see what you're really talking about topography-wise and really understand, because your engineer basically said it was because of a cost improvement at the last meeting. And we don't look at costs or impacts related to cost. And so we go off what was originally submitted and I'm still comfortable with what was submitted and approved. So I would really need to see how that safety is really a concern and what the real issue is there, because I still think the solution for the community long-term is to keep more residential along the community college. And so the higher the community.
Let me say, part of the issue that I really see is, the biggest issue on the project is that some of their earlier plans, and even the 16 plan, had more covered parking, more enclosed parking. It had more garages. The one they're currently proposing, you can see by the amount of white, it's all about surface parking. They're trying to get as much surface parking as possible, and that's why they actually lost the units on that west side. They don't want to do the structured parking. Or at least I assume the structured parking is what they're avoiding.
I agree with you, and that was one of the selling points of why we approved the phases we're not even talking about.
Yeah. So the real limit right now is all the surface parking, and I think if they can get some more garages into the courtyards. In fact, maybe even a little bit, maybe one or two podiums underneath some of the housing on the right. They could get more density, and you know, perhaps that would help pay for it. I don't know, but that, like you said, that's not what we're worried about. But ultimately, I think if the courtyards, I think having the garages makes a big difference in the type of residents that will help transition between the density at the school side and the residents on the other side.
Yeah. Good point, Jackson. I think I would like the developer to show us for the next time the number of parking units from the 2016 approved plan in garage form and the current one of garage units near the home. So the garages that are just storage units don't count.
Yeah, those 48 garages that are on that south side are, you know, those are obviously like you said, they're going to become storage units. They're not really tied. And that's where they're getting their the garages from. You're exactly right, Jackson. They moved them out from under the buildings and into this location.
So I was curious about that, too, because previously it looked like there was additional access with the previous plan that was approved to go from the, I don't know, on our screen, it's from the bottom, the south, I don't know which side it is. It's probably going east, maybe. The access is no longer there.
Yeah, I think that's a great situation that they were talking about. That's part of the reason they got the garages there is to they're actually using those garages as a retaining
situation. Oh, like a wall? Yeah.
Yeah.
They're retaining wall.
Gotcha.
And I do agree it is a difficult situation for the courtyards, but I still think they could get, especially as the site is sloping from bottom to top, it gets lower the further up the drawing it goes. If they could do some garages on the, you know, on the uphill side, or, you know, perpendicular to that slope, then I think they could make it work. But at the same time, they can't do all. The ones where they're going, where the slope is happening, as they step the buildings, it's tough to make the garages work. But on the other locations, I think you could still get some garages in the courtyards.
So all those interior roads are private streets. Are you guys comfortable with that? We've kind of tried to avoid that. That's why the design issue changed a little bit, because we didn't think you wanted the private streets. Are you wanting more of those? There was a comment
was
about
impression that private streets were always going to be there.
There was the comment about access and making more accessibility, and I guess we can look at that. But again, because of the topography, and we thought what your desire was is to have fewer of those, we've actually changed that. We can certainly look at that again, I guess. That was part of the purpose for the change.
I believe it's really important to note that the original garages for the courtyards could not be constructed because of the topographical constraints. Having a garage unit with a zero setback to a curb doesn't allow for any grade changes to happen in between each garage unit. So although we liked the idea of the garage, it wasn't practical, and we couldn't provide the driveway space to maintain the density. And so this allows it to be much more walkable. You know, the private streets didn't have sidewalks. There weren't spaces for them, where now each building has accessible sidewalks that can take them to the site amenities directly without having to walk in the middle of a private street. I think that was a big upgrade to the site plan to allow it to be more open and walkable with sidewalks, public street sidewalks. I think that's important.
Mm-hmm. Well, and on the 2016 plan, it has fairly narrow private roads. When they're narrow like that, you can stagger the buildings a little easier with the site. So you
it's a lack of setback that really caused the problem. Having garage, there'd be a garage door basically, you know, one after the other, and with only 2 feet in between them, and needing to make up about a foot and a half to 2 feet between each unit, you can't have garages that much difference in elevation that close together. And so, you know, initially when the site plan was drawn, that was prior to engineering being attempted on it. And later we saw there were constraints that, you know, needed to be addressed. And that's what they've done here, I thought, quite nicely. You know, the buildings are much further back from the streets. They're 20 feet back from the streets. The other courtyards were zero. There was absolutely zero setback to the street. But I think, you know, now the buildings are actually 30 feet from the curb as opposed to zero. That's a huge difference in the amount of space that was generated, you know, to give it a little bit more open presence rather than having buildings crowded against the streets. And so I thought I really liked, and the courtyard space was much larger as well. It's a more usable space, where the ones depicted in the original plan were really too small to perform any activities that children might engage in, where the newer layout definitely has space large enough, you know, for children to play in, and includes playgrounds as well. So I think those are some big upgrades that give more spaciousness and safety. You know, backing out of those garages was not a good safe condition, and I think they've eliminated that entirely with this new site plan.
Yeah, for me, I like the courtyards. It would just having more elevations to see what that would look like. You know, standing inside of one of the courtyards would be helpful for the next presentation to get like a spatial awareness of what it looks like.
We heard a couple of comments about the fact that you wanted to see more of the density up against the road. We thought that, you know, we're talking about a few feet here, but what happens as a practical effect is by allowing a few feet back, like this one is designed, you actually in your city get a lot nicer open feel right against as you come up on this development. It feels less dense. It feels less impactful. So I think we're hearing what you want, but I'm not sure what you want and what you're saying are the same things. Are we hearing you wrong? I mean, we just want to make sure we're doing the right thing. By setting it back like we've done, we actually feel like you're going to get a better, more open feel for your city than pushing all that density back against the road. In terms of people living near the road between stacked flats and courtyards, there really isn't going to be that much. There's just, you know, people are going to walk. It's very close. All those kinds of things just aren't going to be impactful. But the visual effect from the road, the visual impact to your city, we think will be significantly different with this design versus the 2016 one. Do you understand what we're saying there? Is that you don't like it? You just don't want to go there? Or does that make sense? I mean, we really think this is a whole different feel and design for you that, frankly, we're a little surprised you don't like. Most cities like. So are we... Maybe we haven't given you enough pictures to get you a sense of that, but any comments on that from the
committee? For me, I'm not feeling that. I understand the concern. I'm trying to see what you're saying, but I actually think your product that you sold before was sufficient. And so I'm not, maybe it's because you're not getting to the same level of graphics that you did last time. But I personally still like the 2016 plan.
I think I would agree with Adam.
That was Adam, by the way.
Okay.
Maybe I'll articulate. This is Jackson. I think the difference is really the change in building type to go from a townhouse style like you've got in the courtyards in the 16 plan to flats that you've got in the current plan. It feels like you're going from a house to a fourplex. It just doesn't have the same, you know, it feels like it cheapens it a bit. I don't know.
Yeah, the irony of that is we're actually taking more of those high density units and pushing them towards the courtyard. So you'd think that would just be the opposite. So I'm not sure what we're doing to give you that feel. We apologize.
I think it's ultimately surface parking versus garage.
For me, this is pretty. Yeah, for me, I like that there's more green around the buildings. That doesn't bother me, and the fact that you guys have kind of a break between the high density to medium density is something I like that you guys reincorporated.
So who is that speaking, and are you saying you like the current plan?
Well, so this is Brody. I like the current plan for the open space. I think it would be helpful to see more elevations, like what it would look like from the high density looking over to the medium density, or standing in the middle of the courtyard and giving just more how it would feel within those courtyards.
Now, one takeaway from our whole discussion tonight, nobody's talking about the one in the middle.
Yeah.
So nobody wants to go back to that one.
Yeah, I think that's good. That's positive. We're making some progress. So I guess what we're trying to get a sense for is we've heard lots of different comments. We're not sure where the majority consensus is in terms of moving them. I guess it's very rare in our experience to have a city want more high density apartments, and we're moving 73 of those higher density into the courtyards. And so we just want to make sure we're hearing the right we're hearing the message right. We're confused. We're just nervous that that's the message, is that you're not liking that, which is very, very unusual for cities. So are we hearing it right? Are we misunderstanding?
Adam, you're hearing it right from me.
That's Adam. Okay. Okay.
I would say you're hearing it right from Jackson, in that I'm looking, it is more dense as far as amount of ground covered, but having a ground access in a garage makes a big difference in what the building is and what your unit is.
Are you saying that, like, as far as product goes?
As far as a product. And I would say that I agree that it's impossible to make the 2016 work with the slope and the site. But I do think there is still a possibility of, you know, half the units in the courtyard having their own garages. And if they can walk from garage into their unit, directly from the garage into their unit, that's going to be a much different feel, and you'll get a nice. It just makes a better unit than a flat that you have to walk 100 yards to get to your car.
Understood. So that's Adam. Lauren, are you feeling the same?
That was Jackson. Actually, that was Jackson's suggestion on that one.
Yep. Lauren, are you feeling the same about this new plan versus the 2016? Any thoughts from you?
I mean, I'm kind of with all of them. I mean, there's pros and cons to each plan right now, to be honest. I like the more open space. I don't mind the density up against the road, like they've talked about. I think that's a benefit in this case, to having the more density up against the road. I know that's not a lot of what you might hear, but that in this case, up against the college and up, you know, the way that's designed, I think that's where I would like to see it.
Joy, are you, can you give us any thought on yours, what you're feeling tonight? Uh-oh, I think.
Oh, you're on mute, Joy.
Hi.
Thanks so much, Joy.
All right. Yeah, thank you. Thank you for the changes that you made. Echoing what Jackson said, I do like having parking underneath the unit. I feel like that's a better feel for the area. That's it.
Perfect. Nick, can we get any sense from you where you're at?
Nick's on mute too. I don't know. He's staff too. So go ahead, Nick.
Yeah, Nick is a member of our.
Nick's a member
staff,
of the planning staff.
So
not
you're polling.
Sure. Yeah.
No problem. Brody, comments from you?
Yeah, so for me, I think it would give you a better product if you can have some parking for those units. I don't know that you need all of them to be like that. If you have some surface parking, I think that works. I think transferring some of the density back to the higher density makes sense to me. Then you end up with a better courtyard product. So that would be my comments.
So could we, maybe we summarize then by this, tell us if you feel like we're headed the right direction. Push a few more of those. Don't push so many of the stacked flats over. Maybe keep more on closer to the road and see if we can incorporate a few more garages into the units is kind of the overall sense. Is that the feel we're getting?
Yeah,
okay. For me, well, yes.
That, this is Andy.
I would like you to show the number of garage spaces between all of the plans so that when we're seeing it, we can know what we're talking about.
Yeah.
We'll try and do that. Thank you, Adam. And this will give us a better feel. So it sounds like you're appreciating the challenge we've run into engineering-wise with the staggering and safety issues and other things. So we'll try and bring back some middle ground for you to show you some of these things and get some more elements in there.
I like the new architecture of the courtyards versus the last ones that felt industrial.
You like those? Okay, good. We'll try and incorporate more of that.
I think it'd be good. We haven't heard from Andrea on this either. Andrea, and then I want to give a couple of thoughts as well, maybe in wrap up. But Andrea, do you have any comments that you'd like to provide to them as well?
I may be off here, but is this a development that has the retail in the front?
Correct.
Yes.
Will there be similar colors on the retail portion too?
Yeah. Yeah, I think we can make that. One thing we really tried to do for you, I think you're going to really like it on the retail, is that we broke it up so it's walkable, and then we'll have a pylon sign to really help bring people to it, and we think you'll really, really enjoy that change. That's something we're kind of excited about. We think we do a lot of retail work, and we think the retailers will like this much better, and it will be more easily seen from the road, those kinds of things, and more accessible for your residents. So,
good comment. Looking at this, as far as parking, probably, you know, the two interior units, you can do parking, but if you pull out the ones that are, I guess, on the west and the east, there's like a section of parking in the middle where you could just, looks like you could park, have underground, not underground parking, but parking for the units on 1, 2, 3, possibly 4 of the courtyards.
Which courtyard units?
We're anxious to follow, but we're not sure.
I'm trying to see it's there. Hold on.
Can you see the unit numbers on those courtyard units? Maybe you can.
That's what I'm trying to blow up.
1, 3, 4, 5. To see which ones are you looking at? We'll be happy to.
So maybe talk left to right.
Yeah. I'm trying to look at them over here.
Oh, for example, you can put a private road between 7 and 10 and have parking garages there.
Well, I guess what I'm saying, 12, 9, 8, and...
And 6. Yeah.
Maybe 6.
Maybe 6, yeah.
And what are you thinking there? We can do more what?
Get those garages.
If you pull those out to the road. Maybe if you flipped 6, how that would look.
Okay.
Totally different product type.
We'll see what we can do. We appreciate the creativity, guys.
Yeah, the one thing, maybe I'll kind of wrap up some of my comments. I really do, to be honest, this latest layout, I do like the pedestrian routing, the walkability of this a lot more than any of the other options. I think this does provide that a lot better. I do like the way you have the landscaping breaking up all that parking, because we recognize, you know, you do have a lot of parking. Maybe if you can get rid of some of that with providing some more garages at those courtyard units, that would help. But for me, I understand the stacked flat situation. I'm not tied to having those units connected together. I kind of like the stepped in the elevation. I think that's probably what needs to happen with the grades that you're working with out there. And personally, I don't necessarily like to have the big units, because this does provide a little bit more walkability through the stacked flats as well than having them all conjoined as they were in the approved plan. So those are my thoughts. Maybe I just threw a wrench into everything, but I think the comments about providing some additional garages at the courtyard units, I think would be beneficial, and the counts, as Adam has suggested, I think would be very good as well.
Thank you. Would you be, could you tell us who was speaking? We had a hard time seeing that on the video.
You can't see me. That's a good thing. This is Andy.
Oh, hi, Andy. Okay. Thank you for your comments. We'll incorporate those. We appreciate everybody's help tonight, and we'll bring back something. Hopefully we can get approved next meeting.
Okay. Yeah. And again, if you guys can provide something that gives us a little bit more of the elevation views and so we can kind of see the context of all, I think that would help as well. Because it is kind of hard to see from plan view really what you're working with the grades and stuff. So if we can see how that all is going to work and how it steps down, I think that would be beneficial for us.
No problem at all. We can do that. I think you'll appreciate the creativity that Think's done to put this together. So.
No, we appreciate you working with us, and, you know, we do appreciate that as well. Any other quick comments on this one? I think we've labored this one enough.
I think we're going to dive off if you're good. We appreciate your time tonight, everyone.
Okay.
Thanks again.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, guys. Thanks, Tim, Tyler.
Bryn, you got great staff, and Michael.
Thanks, guys.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Okay, with that, I'll go ahead and There's no action needed for item 2.5, but I think we've discussed it enough for the evening. So we'll move on to any other chair and commission comments from the group. Maybe just to comment the last slide. Go ahead. What was that?
You guys are awesome. Good to see all your faces.
Yeah. Thanks for getting this all worked out. Appreciate the staff and the hard work they did to make this happen. This wasn't easy, and this really was very much flawless. This worked out well. So thank you to everybody involved. And again, for those that may be watching or listening outside in the public, there's this thank you that's not on the screen now, but the last slide out there is a thank you to all of our doctors, nurses, first responders, and public safety officers that are out there on the front lines. Let's do them all a favor and do what we can to stay healthy and stay home so that we can get through this and get back to normal, whatever that normalcy is. So with that, I'll just mention the upcoming future meetings. City Council meeting next Wednesday, April 8th. 2 weeks from today will be our next Planning Commission meeting, which we will have some public hearing items on the agenda, so that will be interesting to see how that all works out. I'm sure there's a process for that, and it'll go as flawless as it did this evening. And then 2 weeks from Wednesday will be another City Council on April 22nd. With that, I will accept a motion to adjourn. Don't all speak at once.
So moved.
Lauren, we heard it. Adam, second. All in favor? Second.
Aye.
Aye. Thank you, everybody. Have a good night.